Wes Durham of the ACC Network is joining us. He's actually in Amelia Island right now. Are you on the beach still, Wes?
Pretty much. Thanks.
Perfect. I appreciate you calling in from the beach.
No problem. How you guys doing?
We're good. We're good. What I want to know is this schedule change is going to happen, right? No more divisions, three permanent partners, so to speak, and a five-team rotation, the 3-5-5. This is going through?
Yeah, it looks that way. There's some guys who are obviously loyalists to the division concept, and I get that. But I think they'll have the number needed to abolish the divisions and go with the straight 1-14. And this has got a chance. I mean, you see every school in the league in a 2-year period. I don't see the drawback, to be honest with you. And plus, I think it also marries up to the expansion of the college football playoff in a good way for the ACC that gives it a chance, similar to what they had with Notre Dame a couple of years ago, where if they get a championship game that's played in the top five, I think they've got a chance to get, certainly two in the top four if they want, or certainly two, maybe even three in the top eight, which would be crucial.
West Durham, ACC Network, joining us here on the Heister Automotive Hotline. It's Joe Vias. I'm Joe Giglio. Wes, I think I have this right. It's a 3-quarter vote that's needed to overturn the current scheduling model?
Yeah, that's what I've been told too, Joe.
Okay.
Yep, exactly.
So that's 11-14 that they'll need?
Yeah, would work out to that math, I think.
Okay.
Correct.
Do you want to play the game of the three who will vote against it? Or?
Well, I mean, look, I certainly think there are some that would like – and again, we don't know the models. See, they've been given two different models, and we don't know what those models are. And you could, go to your favorite message board and play that game if you want to. But the reality of it is, I think the fact that, they work out the 4-4 each year, home and away, the fact you see every school in a 2-year frame. And I think the other thing, let's be honest, the other thing too is it creates a little bit better value from a television perspective. If that generates more dollars, it's hard to vote against it. And right now, we know what the ceiling is on the other side. So you know what the division ceiling is financially, and if the television partners are telling you there's a chance to make more dollars from a revenue perspective, then that's a good thing for the ACC. That's why I think it's got a chance to pass and probably pass on the first try.
Wes, you've known me for a minute. Where do I go from here? I feel like I'm writing for The Simpsons right now. I don't know how to react to this. I don't know how to be someone who could see into the future. I'm used to people picking on me for Gonzaga selections or Louisville and football back in 2004. How do I celebrate this win without being that guy? Help me.
Well,
help me.
Look, I think you celebrate it in 25 when the playoff field expands and the ACC has a chance to get two or three in.
Okay.
That's how you celebrate it, because in the division rotation, that's a little more complicated. And here's the thing, too. I do believe, this is me personally, I think there's some value to the ACC being first in the pool on this. I really do. I think if the ACC takes down the division walls, I think there's a chance it influences some others, most notably the Pac-12, who also needs to do this, in my opinion. But I also think, too, that the Big Ten has to take a strong look at their values, but they're in the process of negotiating. So it's a little quicker draw there if they want to do it. But I do believe, quite frankly, Joe, that this is a good thing for the ACC. I've never regarded this as a negative, because I think the division thing played itself out.
Yeah.
Remember how divisions were drawn in hopes of Florida State, Miami, guys? I mean, let's just be honest. That's the way it was put on paper.
Yeah, and I've made this point. Every hypothetical that the ACC tried to anticipate, it's funny how none of them actually panned out.
Right. Yeah. And you look, you live and learn, but we don't need to learn for 25 years. We've already learned for 20, right?
But what's interesting What's interesting to me, Wes, is, I'm reading some of the quotes that are coming out from ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips, and I don't know if this is just something that he's saying to hedge or whatever, but they're like, well, we don't want to rush into any decisions, or, there's momentum for here or whatever. I mean, I kind of thought the point of these meetings in Amelia Island, Florida, are to tackle a lot of things that I feel like we've been talking about for the last 6 months. We've been talking about divisions for months. Why are y'all there? Let's come on, chop, chop. I still want to know where the offices are. What's going on?
Well, that part I can't help you with. I mean, there's as much kind of head scratching and teeth gnashing on the office deal as, like it's a really big decision. I mean, I mean, in, at the end of the day, it affects 100 and some odd people, and that's about it.
Yeah.
But the reality of the football division thing is this was the first time the models were given out and examined with everybody in the same room. That's
okay.
The critical piece here. And I had coaches tell me, you know, look, I knew what was on paper in one model, but I wasn't familiar, and I wanted to hear from contemporaries in my particular situation. I mean, because let's be honest, they're different kind of pods within the ACC of like-minded institutions. I mean, Boston College probably thinks along the same lines as maybe Syracuse and Pittsburgh, and, you know, Duke may think along the same lines as Wake Forest, if you will, and that kind of thing. So it's important to hear, you know, the rhetoric in the room and the discussions in the room as to how that may play out. And I think that was an important part of this. But it's a lot to ask based on that. Let's pull the trigger for the rest of it, you know.
Wes Terham, ACC Network, joining us here on the OG. Back in 2014, when the league's composition was changed, I was told there was strong resistance, specifically from Syracuse, specifically from Miami, to any type of changes that would set up an old ACC quotes and a new ACC. Do you think some of that still exists?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think this is, and you know, credit Jim Phillips, and this is not to dismiss anything John Swofford did, but mm-hmm. Jim Phillips has built, and in the theory of, and the likeness of Swofford, remember, you know, we heard a lot about John Swofford being able to get a consensus in the room. I mean, Dabo Swinney told us this morning on the show at 7:15, this is the most aligned the football coaches have ever been on a lot of things. So that leads me to believe the football coaches have already kind of settled in on models in terms of scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
It's now left to ADs. The interesting part about this is we haven't heard a whole lot about the board of directors since we've been here. Since Monday night, I haven't heard a great deal at all about board of directors. I think FAR still have faculty athletic reps still have a presence within the org chart. But I don't get the new and old ACC at all, Julio. I really don't. I think this is much more of a 15-team, certainly in basketball and other sports, non-football, 14, obviously, football with the 14. I see this much more aligned than, quite frankly, I have in a long, long time.
Wes Durham, ACC Network. All right, man, we'll let you get back to enjoying the beach at Amelia Island, Florida. We appreciate you calling in. We'll hopefully have things, actual decisions to talk about next week when we chat.
Yeah, I'm not sure you'll get decisions next week, but I think you'll get them in the next 30. How's that?
I'll be happy with something. Just give me something.
There you go. We go to Charlotte in July, and you have the walls down for 23. You'll be happy, right?
Yes, I will be happy. Although
– okay.
Let's just get rid of the divisions, man. That's all. If that's what comes out of this meeting and we get that announced at ACC kickoff in July, I'll be happy. But I've already.
Who do you give full credit to, Obvious? Who do you give full credit to?
You give it to Giglio, who was dismissed by the ACC for such thoughts.
I'm calling this last shot, though, Wes. This last shot. If this is the last year of division play, Clemson is now guaranteed to go 8-0, and NC State's guaranteed to go 7-1. Guaranteed.
God.
Thanks. Guaranteed.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Yeah.
All right.
Let's have a little optimism. Let's have a little optimism in May, okay?
That's optimism.
7-1. Seven one's
pretty damn optimistic for NC State given history. Come on now.
All right.
All right, Wes.
Y'all be good.
We'll talk to you later, man.
Greens, boys.
Have
Take
fun.
Care. See you.
Couple news and notes from professional sports. The NBA playoffs roll along. The Philadelphia 76ers had a terrible, terrible night against the Miami Heat. Bad news for the Memphis Grizzlies. Ja Morant looks like he's going to be out for the remainder of the series with a knee bruise. I've seen that replay from Jordan Poole of the Golden State Warriors, you know, playing the ball and he gets his knee, and it didn't look like it was something that would be serious, but he's Ja Morant went from he's about to play in this game to not playing in this game to then all of a sudden out for the series. At least that's what reports indicate. One other NBA note, Brooklyn Nets general manager Sean Marks essentially called out Kyrie Irving and that he might not be with the New York or the Brooklyn Nets for much longer. Speaking publicly for the first time since the Nets were swept out of the Eastern Conference quarterfinals by the Boston Celtics last month, Marks acknowledged that Irving's part-time status with the team over the past year had an impact on Brooklyn's play and was non-committal regarding Irving's potential future with the team. Quote from ESPN, We need people here that want to be here. They're selfless, that want to be part of something bigger than themselves. And there's an objective and there's a goal at stake here. And in order to do that, we're going to need availability from everybody. Huh. Kyrie Irving has overstayed his welcome in another place. Who would have thought?
No.
Who would have thought?
Although, let me push back a little bit here now. Marks, you made a bad trade. Now yeah, you want to... Now, agreed. The whole thing, Leigh affair,
there's two
Kyrie,
separate conversations.
Yes.
There's Kyrie's availability and what he's ultimately about. And we don't know... And I'm saying this as somebody who's not trying to get in Kyrie's head because we don't know what's in Kyrie's head. The dude operates on his own level. And then there's your point. A separate conversation about the moves you made.
It's two moves, too, Joe. Because the original move to get Harden, they broke up a core of supporting players who I thought were good enough to win a title with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. So you made a mistake in getting Harden to begin with. Then you made a mistake in not getting the right value for him on the return side. So if I'm Sean Marks, I'm probably looking at this going, yes, Kyrie, you could have helped us. Yes, you could have made a less selfish decision. But I'm looking at this going, I got to look at the mirror first, and I did not put our team in the best position to win. That's on me.
Over to the NFL, where Christian McCaffrey with the Carolina Panthers was somebody that other teams in the NFL were calling about ahead of the draft. I mean, we saw a couple different reports about how teams were calling the Panthers this offseason that ultimately led to nothing with Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey was used as a potential trade chip to get better at QB, right? But obviously none of that came to fruition. Now, according to NFL.com's Adam Kaplan, the Buffalo Bills, because of course the Buffalo
Bills.
Who
else would be?
The better Panthers organization of the North, because a lot of those guys came from, Sean McDermott was the defensive coordinator. A lot of the front office people were with the Carolina Panthers at one point. Apparently the Bills called about McCaffrey ahead of the draft, and they were told by the Panthers that he is not available. My question is, why not? I mean, if you don't want to trade him because the terms aren't good, got it. But to say he's not available...
To flat out say.
Why? When you're the Panthers in desperate need of draft capital, why not? Again, I want to be clear about this. Getting an offer for Christian McCaffrey and it not being to your liking because you feel he's worth more, got it. But straight up telling him, nah, not interested, period, that is a dereliction of duty for Scott Fritterer and David Tepper and Matt Rhule. Now, I know what you're probably thinking. I mean, you see how that offense is with Christian McCaffrey and how it is without Christian McCaffrey. Right. And that's the problem. Because you cannot guarantee Christian McCaffrey will be on the field for every single game next season. I'm not saying this as a knock for Christian McCaffrey. I was absolutely on board with the contract they gave Christian McCaffrey because if you try to act as though he's just one running back, then you're sorely mistaken. He was worth that contract because he does so much. The problem is he hasn't been available.
Yeah, but you already know the answer to this. When David Tepper finally met with the media and he was asked about Sam Darnold, his answer was, well, you know, with number 22.
I know.
That was his answer. Those are the words out of his mouth.
I know.
So, yes, we can potentially blame Scott Fitterer for not engaging with the Bills, but my guess and the correct guess would be Tepper told him, don't engage with the Bills because they don't want to trade McCaffrey because Tepper likes McCaffrey.
This is now two administrations who have not been able to understand that if your entire offense falls apart because that dude's on the field, you got a problem. You got a big freaking problem. And again, I say this as somebody who was absolutely on board with Christian McCaffrey's contract because it made a lot of sense. He's not just a running back. Catches passes. He's dynamic. Guy can break a game open. But he shouldn't be all of your offense. And then when you combine that with his inability to stay on the field for an entire season, I'm not saying that as a knock. I'm just simply pointing out what we've seen. Well, the Panthers are probably lining themselves up for yet another season of, you know, I mean, hell, at this point, I could probably blame NC State's basketball season for not having Christian McCaffrey. We're at that rate. I mean, if we had Christian McCaffrey, it's the same energy. It's the same energy. No, 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 no. You got to work past that. You can't fall apart because one guy's off the floor. You can't fall apart because one guy's off the field. So, curious decision by the Carolina Panthers and Christian McCaffrey.